Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. Voice note. Pimelo Mutine on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Point of View.
Keep connected with us.
Kaya959.
On the street.
On the air.
Oh boy, so a lot has happened in the judiciary today. Legal Practice Council has postponed the disciplinary hearing of Advocate Dali Mpofu. I think a lot of us were waiting to see what would happen in this particular hearing. Well, it was a strange start, I must say. In the beginning, people walked into what seemed like dark corridors, whether it was an outage, whether it was, I don't know, because there was no load shedding today, but it was whatever it is. And so that was sort of part of the reason why there was a postponement. But most importantly, there was another reason there was a postponement. On the line with us this evening is legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala. Haven't spoken to you in a while, Mpumelelo. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good evening to you and also good evening to your listeners.
Let's talk about the second reason why there was a postponement today.
Well, the second reason was due to the change or the amendment in the charges as they were. Remember that there are certain charges that were removed and other charges were then ended or then amended. Thus, the person who is accused in this case, Advocate Dali Mpofu SC, must be given appropriate time to go and prepare for his defense. So that's what the main reason to say. We can't bring new charges upon you today. You have to give your time so you can go and provide the full the defense if it needs be, and also to go and check what type of witnesses do you need and what type of evidence would you need at the end of the day in order to sort of clear your name, for lack of a better phrase. Mm.
So initially, let's go back. Initially, there were seven.
Yes.
Then ultimately, there were four. And then of the four charges, two were amended. Is it common for charges to be amended and for that announcement to be made on the day when their hearings were supposed to begin?
Well, it's not something which is not common, but it does sort of create a picture of a prosecution, let me call them that, that has not fully investigated and consulted with all those that are involved, especially if it's going to be the complainants or the alleged complainants which are going to say, I do not want to be part of your disciplinary hearing or hearing as it takes place. Please don't include my name in whatever that you seek to do. Ordinarily, you would have consulted with the people that you are going to call or the people which are going to be complainants. Ask them, are you willing to participate in this process? If they say yes, then you continue. Because the thing about the resources that you have now poured into this process, the investigations that have been done, there's a person who is a lead prosecutor, there's a person who is supporting them. All those individuals were dealing with the charges as they were before they were amended. So if you're going to change it now, it means, for lack of a better word, you've wasted all this time and resources and money into creating charges which are going to be later withdrawn.
Some of these charges date back to 4 years ago. Again, you know, what does that signal?
Well, even though there's no prescription of charges, especially when it comes to the conduct of a person and what the Legal Practice Act is actually stating, but it does mean that you are then going to have a problem with the quality and the quantity of the evidence which you're going to later use. And then the question would be, why did such a sore point now? Who has came up and came up with these all these complaints in which we are now talking about, which will then fuel the suspicion or maybe the notion to say, there's somebody else who has a personal vendetta against Advocate Dali Mpofu. It's not really about the true nature of respecting what the Code of Conduct and Legal Practice Act is actually stating. So it's one of the things which are going to be highlighted. I think it's going to be looked at by the commission or the tribunal that is going to be there, and also all the legal practitioners who are going to be mapping out or dealing with these issues moving forward.
Obviously, one of the things that's been happening alongside this, our anticipation of this hearing, are the letters between them, between some legal entities, Pabasa being one, saying, you know, this is absurd, he's targeted. What do you make of those kinds of public, I think, pronouncements before we even get to the hearing?
I think those pronouncements are important. and they're partially biased in this one.
Mm.
Remember, when you go to court, it is a contested terrain.
Yes.
So there are going to be emotions which are going to go up. Mm-hmm. There are going to be utterances that are going to be there. Where you start to cross the line is where there's swearing, for example, and other insinuations which are going to be there. But there are processes which are available in which you can be able to deal with those. Now, the next question would be, how fast are you able to deal, or how soon have you dealt with those utterances?
Mm.
Did you wait 4 years up until you now stated that you've been insulted, or maybe if the certain line was crossed, or is it something that you acted upon within reasonable time? So if you are going to have a space in which legal practitioners have to be so careful and walk around eggshells when they're doing cross-examination, how am I going to put it to a person while I'm doing cross-examination that they're lying? If there's a fear that at the end of the day, if that particular pronouncement has not been found, I'm going to be charged with contravening the Legal Practice Act or the Code of Conduct. It doesn't work the work of a legal practitioner conducive in that manner. So we have to be very careful when you're prosecuting these allegations to say, let's do it in a meaningful manner. Let's make sure that it's authentic. And let's make sure that whatever that you are doing, we're doing it in the name of protection, or protecting the noble profession and nothing else.
Mm. And then we move on to another case of two complaints made against the Western Cape Judge Mushtaq Parker. And obviously this is a big one, because if he is found guilty of gross misconduct, he too could be impeached. Let's talk about the allegations. And there too, as I stated earlier. But essentially, it's about lying is central to all of this.
Yeah, which is a very, very important, or maybe it's one of the transgressions which cannot be forgiven in a legal profession.
Mm.
Remember, when you go to court, you ask to speak the truth and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be a judicial officer, a person has took an oath to say, I want to make sure that I'm on the correct side of the law at all times, being the one who's accused of doing such, then definitely it's something which is impeachable. Now, it's not going to be the first time in which we have been impeaching a judge in South Africa, but it's certainly going to be a trend in which one would hope that would not be something to be seen within the legal spaces. Not something which is nice. It's something that casts aspersion when it comes to the legal profession. And certainly those that are involved would fight with all their might to make sure that those type of allegations aren't imputed upon them.
Except so, Judge Parker says nothing. He's not fighting, it doesn't seem.
it's one of those worrying factors to say, once you've been given that opportunity, then go and defend yourself if you need to defend yourself. If there's justification or maybe admission of what you have done, then go there. But I think for him, it's a fight that he would say, I do not want you to deem it as a gross misconduct. Deal with it as a misconduct so that I can at least be able to keep my job at the end of the day. But if I'm impeached and no longer a judge, all the benefits, let alone the title, goes along with it. And basically, I'm back to square one in terms of my legal career.
I mean, you're not obviously in the tribunal, but your thoughts on the two charges? I mean, I think they're quite grave. And what I'm asking you is whether you think he'll get away with just misconduct or gross misconduct. If we just name them quickly, obviously the one is a case dating back to 2019 around the assault that he says was meted against him by Judge Klope at the time. And then in 2020 seemed to have changed his mind, or his memory, he had a memory lapse of sorts and the statement was not quite the same. And then the second charge is that of funds in the trust account that went missing, or nobody could account for, 8 million rand that is. What are your thoughts on what possibly could be the outcome of this tribunal?
Maybe let's start with the missing trust funds.
Yes.
No matter how small or how big the amount, in this case it's very huge.
Mm.
At the end of the day, missing trust fund, it means that you are a person who's not honest. Mm-hmm. Worst of all is theft, for lack of a better word.
Mm.
So you can't have a person with those type of expressions being a judge, being a judicial officer. It taunts the name of judicial officers and makes the whole process somewhat not respectable. And the one of lying, well, if you are going to lie against your former colleague, or alleged lying against your former colleague, it's one of those things to then say, if you are making a pronouncement and a certain allegation that later surfaces, how are we supposed to believe you if you are going to use the whole process for your own individual needs? So it's something that needs to be investigated, needs to be taken to task. There are certain initiatives that were taken after those statements were stated. there are certain resources that were poured into this whole process. So if it's indeed found that you're misleading the tribunal, then definitely those allegations that you have to be meted against you, then you have to face the consequences which are going to follow. And unfortunately, the consequences in this case, since the matters are so grave, is that you must be impeached or it must be deemed as a gross misconduct that would lead to your impeachment.
That's the first, you started backwards. What about the one around Judge Tlope and that assault?
That's the other one. To say, remember, it's your former colleagues or it's your colleagues. You are within this profession together. You are within this the side of the profession together. It's expected that you are going to behave in a cordial manner. Whenever there are allegations in which you are going to moot against certain individuals, must be done so in a proper manner. Especially if there's going to be action which is going to be taken against the people that you are alleging against or that you are implicating. So it's a lesson that then says, do not lead us on a wild goose chase when you know exactly what happened. There's nothing really that should be investigated because you want your own needs or your own objectives to be met. So if those allegations are indeed true, I think the JSC is going to want to say, we want to teach every single person who is out there a lesson to say, whenever you come to us with allegations, make sure that they are authentic. Otherwise, you are going to be the ones who are going to be on the other side dealing with the punishment.
All right. Thank you for that clarity. Legal expert Mpumelelo Lozikalala, thank you so much for your time.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.